Because of Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Many of you know that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, the day that the Christian church around the world celebrate and remember the pouring of the Holy Spirit on the followers of Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Today is the first Sunday after the Pentecost, but it's also celebrated as the Holy Trinity Sunday, a day intended for us to praise and to worship our triune God, our God who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And to do just that, to celebrate our triune God, we'll continue our sermon series that we've started last Sunday entitled Possessed By. Now, last Sunday, I mentioned that one of the main goals of this sermon series is for us to understand the scope and depth and the power of the Holy Spirit that possesses us. Yes, if you were not here last Sunday, I do use the word we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. You see, we don't often, we don't always refer to the Holy Spirit as that entity that possesses us. We're very quick to tell about other people how they're possessed by demons or possessed by evil spirit, but we never really talk about the Holy Spirit as possessing people, possessing us. But in fact, that is, in fact, what is happening. In fact, I'm here this morning to tell you that we ought to claim and be thankful that all Christian believers are possessed by God. Yes, by God the Holy Spirit, who is one of the three Godheads that we celebrate today. And because the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers in Jerusalem, according to the stories in Acts chapter 2, it is safe for me to declare that all Christian believers are therefore Pentecostal. Now, I know some of you dyed-in-the-wool Lutherans are probably twitching in your seats and say, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm no Pentecostal. I'm a Lutheran. And I would agree with you. But let me be clear. I'm not referring to Pentecostalism as a denomination here. I'm talking about, I'm simply relating the fact that the Holy Spirit came and possessed Jesus' followers 50 days after his resurrection, hence Pentecost. As a matter of fact, all Christian believers are indeed Pentecostals. And because they're Pentecostal, they are charismatic. Now, again, some of you are saying, whoa, now he accuses us of being Pentecostal. Now he says we're charismatics. I am no charismatic. I'm a Lutheran, some would say. Well, I have news for you. I'm a charismatic Lutheran. Have been. I was brought up in a charismatic movement of the Lutheran Church back in Madagascar. And I claim to be a charismatic Lutheran pastor. Now, for some of you, being charismatic, you have this image of people who are in worship, who's throwing their hands up in the air, shouting, amen, hallelujah, praise be to God, and all those, and doing cartwheels down the aisle, dancing and doing the jig. Some of you think that's what charismatics are about. No. Not all of us. So the question is, what does it mean to be a charismatic? Now, so that we be on the same page, let me share with you all what charismatic means. Charis in Greek is what we in English call grace. And mata in Greek is what we call gifts. So when you put these two words together, charismata, it means the gift of grace or the gifts of grace. So you where do we get these gifts? Well, according to Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, they are from God himself. These gifts of grace are from God himself. Paul wrote, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. So who or what are charismatics? Some people have labeled us who are charismatics as charismaniacs because of the weird things that we do, like having the gifts of being able to speak in tongues, like the ability to pray over people for healing, like the ability to discern and understand things that often will puzzle other people. Many would label us as charismaniacs because we do things that are beyond the comprehension of ordinary unbelievers. Charismatics are those, to put it simply, charismatics are those who receive and apply the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their daily lives and wherever they roam. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are many and varied, different for each person who has been given the gifts. Many manifest the gift of the Holy Spirit differently. Yes, there are some who shout glory, hallelujah, and speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit truly allows them to speak in tongues. There are those who sit silently and praise and worship and offer prayer in the comfort and in the ease of their chairs, of their pews. The Holy Spirit gifts us differently. And when they apply and share the gifts of God's grace in their lives, they do it for the glory of our triune God. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart, and I would say that grieves the Holy Spirit, is when people do not have the gifts and pretend that they do so that they could get famous. Or so that they could swindle and trick and mislead others for their own well-being and fortune. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Those who are genuinely given the gifts would not be able to help themselves but share it, manifest it, declare it for the glory of our triune God. And as Lutheran-flavored Christians that we are, we know that all who are baptized into Christ are sealed with the Holy Spirit. This we know. This is part of our Lutheran doctrine, that all who have been baptized into Christ are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which Paul says works for the common good. good. The gift of the Holy Spirit will never be for self-serving. It is for the serving of others, for the common good of God's people. So let me talk a little more about God, God the Holy Spirit, and ask this. What does the Holy Spirit do in us? If we are indeed possessed by the Holy Spirit, what does the Spirit do in us? What does the Holy Spirit make us do if we are truly possessed by the Holy Spirit? Well, once again, the Apostle Paul points out in his letter to the believers in Galatia that the Spirit produces something. The Holy Spirit causes and reveals certain outcome. He calls them the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, St. Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are but a few of the outcome of someone who's been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, of someone who is truly charismata, who's charismatic. And therefore, I would dare to say that all believers in Jesus are indeed charismatic. You may not feel that you are. You may choose not to exhibit the sense of charismatic that you have, but you are, as a believer, as a Christian believer in Jesus Christ, as someone who's endowed and indwelled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will produce in you what Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, and the whole nine yards, including self-control. Again, those who exhibit and live their lives in this manner, they must be possessed. They must be possessed by the Holy Spirit. And what they do in loving, in showing joy, in showing mercy, in showing patience, in showing understanding, showing forgiveness, in what they do, it gives glory and honor to God. Now, Uncle Marty, Martin Luther, to most of you, Uncle Marty calls or explains in his small catechism, as he explains the third article of the Apostles' Creed on the Holy Spirit. He says, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In other words, on our own, friends, on our own, we would not come, nor would we believe in Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who does that in us. It is the Holy Spirit that calls, that draws us closer to Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that calls and gives us faith to believe in Jesus. It is not our will. It is not our choice. It is the Holy Spirit's acting, leading, driving, and drawing us toward the cross of Christ. Now, it's been said of our Lutheran denomination or Lutheran heritage that we, as Lutherans, we don't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And it's true. Compared to what we know about God and what we know about Jesus, we don't really know how the Holy Spirit works. But I do know this. I know this, and I'm certain about this, that if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be here today, and neither will you. You would be somewhere else doing something else if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. In fact, I dare say, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I would never have the opportunity to meet any of you, because I wouldn't be in ministry. I wouldn't be in this congregation. It's all because of the Holy Spirit's working, leading, guiding, and gifting for those who he possesses. Martin Luther says the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to serve and to worship God. And most of all, the Holy Spirit makes us saints. Yes, saints today and into eternity. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That is one of its role, one of its jobs, is to sanctify his people, God's people, to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are saints of God as the Holy Spirit indwells and possesses you. So those are some of the important works of the Holy Spirit that is in you, in me, in us. So remember, therefore, as we say at every baptism here at this baptismal font, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. You are his. You are God's. And God, the Holy Spirit, resides within you. So come what may, this life will throw at you. Come what may, the challenges ahead may be. Trust in what the Apostle Paul wrote in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, saying that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. Because we are Pentecostal people, because we are charismatic Lutherans, because we are Christian believers, that the Holy Spirit possesses us and that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are saints of God today, in the now, and into eternity. We don't have to wait until we're dead to be saints. After all, saints are recognized as saints by the way they live, not by the way they die. So let's live like one. Let's live like one today, like saints of God, for the glory of God. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the dunamis, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, and how that power is in you, in each of you. I hope you'd come back for that. Until then, I pray that the presence and the blessing of the Holy Spirit that is in you strengthen you and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.